one mitzvah. Now, we have a hard enough time even having two brachos on tefillin. An old story. Two mitzvahs. But three brachos on one mitzvah. And at least we have on Megillah, so one brachos on the mitzvah. Then we have a brachos on Nisim, the Madonna on Nes, and Shechiyonu. Okay, we will say it. Fine. But three brachos on one mitzvah. In Aruch HaShulchan, and Simon Mem Zayin is disturbed by this why, in fact, there is more than one bracha. And I would suggest the following. The Gemara relates in the Dorm, in its interpretation of the Novi Yirmiya, is that why was the first Jewish commonwealth shattered? What brought it down? And Chazal say that they asked the Chachamim, they asked the Revi'im, nobody could understand what took place. Only Vayimra Hashem al Ozbom as Tarosim. The Rebbeinu Shalom himself had to make a special statement, obviously, through the Revi'im, but the Revi'im could not divine it with their own insights. Al-Ozbom es Tarosi. So in effect, the Gemara says it can't be Al-Ozbom es Tarosi because that everybody would have seen. And you didn't have to be the Chacham and the Revi'im, would have all known immediately what the problem was. The Gemara says, Ashalei Borchu b'Torah b'Tchila. They didn't make a Birchas HaTorah at the beginning. We're going to come back to example why they didn't make Birchas HaTorah. Why shouldn't they make Birchas HaTorah? It's a mitzvah. So, the Ran explains that this showed that they did not have proper appreciation of what Torah was. In a regard, they looked at Torah, in some regards, as not being overly different, in one simple dimension, as perhaps not being overly differentiated from all the Chochmah. There's all types of Chochmah in the world. In this Chochmah HaTorah, they did not show the full appreciation for Torah. Another chachma in some measure. So we see, so birchas haTorah that nobody understands, that you don't see. See a person learning, learning 15 hours of the day, but did he recite the birchas haTorah before he learned or not? So this is not something which is obvious, but they lacked something in chshuvas haTorah. It's interesting, Muftach Sam Sefer and Rabbi Sol Salanta. So what exactly possessed them? If they were involved in learning Torah, and they took Torah seriously enough that one could not see in the manner in which they learned any deficiency. So that means they took the Torah learning very seriously. So what was the problem? So why didn't they make a bracha? I mean, if they thought, listen, there's physics, there's mathematics, there's Talmud Torah, there's astronomy, so they wouldn't have taken Torah seriously. They would have, okay, they would study a little astronomy, a little physics, a little Torah, right? But to take Torah seriously as it should be taken, they obviously did. So they obviously understood the great significance of Torah. So why didn't they make a bracha? Interestingly, both Chassam Sefer and Rabbi Sol Salanta both point to the same one, Menachos. Yeah, the Machlok is Bavli Yerushalmi, which has to do with the fact that we make a bracha on building a sukkah, for example. A sukkah's teish v'shuas yomim, implied in that is one has to build a sukkah. And we can't expect we're going to go out in the backyard and the sukkah is going to fall from heaven like mud. That's it, you know, Arab sukkahs are coming outside. And my sukkah will be up, and all the schach will be up, the electrical will be up, and that's it. We'll go in, you know. And we'll sit down and we'll eat. It's a gate dish, doesn't go that way. If all of us leave, we've got to do a mighty piece of work to put the sukkah up. So it's obviously there's a mitzvah in building a sukkah. I mean, if one zeicha somehow but had something else which was suitable, so I don't have to build it the shmo. But I do have to provide myself with a sukkah. If I don't have a suitable binyan, a shed, that's used for protection from the sun, I have to build one. So it's a mitzvah of all in doing it. And anything that which needs a cheft or shal mitzvah, so there's obviously a mitzvah in providing that chayfet. Tillin. That's how I say I'll get a witto. Where the tillin going to come from? From the tillin tree. Well, we have to do something about it, etc. And every mitzvah, and every cheft or shal mitzvah, we have to produce it. So the chayfet is a mitzvah. She does it with Shalmi, says that we'll make a bracha on that. A bracha. The Liga says we make a bracha. The Bavli doesn't agree. Not because it says it's not in and of itself a mitzvah. It's true. That's obviously a mitzvah. But the Bavli says that one only makes a bracha on the ultimate step of a mitzvah. Any mitzvah which has necessary preparatory steps. We don't make a bracha on the preparatory steps. Only on none of the penultimate steps. Only the ultimate step itself. That's she just above it. Mumeila. The Rav Yisrael Salam and some Sayyidu say the following. What was their perspective on Torah? The perspective of Torah was that what do we need Torah for? No, just, if you get a new computer, you have to have a manual. How do you run the computer? Without a manual, it's pretty useless. But if you're a real geek, you can probably figure it out, most of it on your own. But even a real geek probably has to discover the few new chidushim that this one is, you know, providing. So, you know, he wants to see what's on page 923 of the manual, you know, that what this machine does in some other way than any other machine that he's seen yet in his life. But you need a manual. We have to have a sacred turret. We have to have kosher meat. I have to have a pair of tefillin. I have to have a sukkah. I need dalad minim. I need matzah. So, how do you do this? How do you make a kosher piece of meat? How do you make a kosher matzah? What's a kosher dalad minim? Well, if nobody learns the halachas, how are we ever going to know? So, we have to learn the halachas, because the halachas are the how-to, the manual for the mitzvahs. If you want to be a time with sigzo, so we have to know what is a sigzo. So their perspective on learning was that learning is a necessary preparation for my son mitzvah. It's not a thought to be dismissed. The Gemara, in fact, almost says such a thing. The Gemara questions near the end of the first paragraph of Talmud Gadol or Maisa Gadol, which is greater. And the Gemara says, Talmud Gadol or Talmud Beis Lidei Maisa. And he had a dispute with that means. Does that mean Maisa is bigger? But it also has Talmud together with it. By learning, you get both. Or does it mean that Talmud is bigger? It's all that the Shaila of Rishayna, of Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Exactly, I don't know the Gemara. The notion that we need to have Torah to do the mitzvah is obvious. Chazal articulated in Ovis, Lo Yom Aretz Chosim. You want to be pious? Very nice. Chazal said, I mean, how are you going to be pious if you don't know what the halachas are? You want to do the mitzvah? Very noble. But will you do the mitzvah? That's a different question altogether. So, they looked upon Talmud Torah is the necessary pre-step to fulfill all the mitzvahs of the Torah. The goal is to fulfill Tayag mitzvahs. How do you want one fulfill Tayag mitzvahs? By learning the Torah so that I know all the halachos of 613 mitzvahs. So they said, so if that's the case, how could you make a broch on learning? It's a preparation for Maisa mitzvahs, that's all. No different than building the sukkah.
But it's one of the 613 mitzvahs.
But it's only in the same way they looked upon it in the same way that we look upon building a sukkah. It's a mitzvah, but it's a mitzvah for the purpose of getting to the other mitzvah. That's its purpose.
What did they do with the mitzvah, with the kikiyapa, so Tamatara with the Neged Kulam?
Well, of course Tamatara with the Neged Kulam. Otherwise, if you don't do the stress learning, you'll eat trace too. They're a terrorist. And this possessed them. They were possessed with this idea. That's what Rabbi Saul and the Chassam say for both sides. So what did they miss? They missed the notion that it's true. All of these things are true about Torah. The Torah is greater than all of this. Torah is the means of drawing close to the Rebbeinu Shalom. Torah is the means of the person being Makadosh himself, sanctifying himself. It's the greatest form of Avodah. When the Ramchal writes about the fact that it's necessary for a person to have Yirat Shamayim, so he talks obviously about Tefillah, but he also talks about Talmud Torah, in the same line. That in the same way we have to realize the gravity of standing in Tefillah before the Rebbeinu Shalom, no less so, and in reality more so, do we have to realize what it means to learn the Rebbeinu Shalom's Torah. So this is the notion that I came to introduce, to reintroduce to us, the notion that Torah is Lishma. It's beyond my mitzvahs. It includes that, but it's much beyond that. Mitzvahs Talmud Torah is as effectively accomplished in learning Seder Tyrus as it is in learning Masechta Shabbos. In terms of the mitzvah, the Kedushas HaTorah is the same. We saw Salanta write in the Zegaris of Musar that ultimately, what did the Ramchal say? The Torah is Makadosh, the person. Torah Mevi'el Edei Yehiras. So Rav Yisrael says that in two dimensions. There's a practical dimension and an abstract dimension. The practical dimension is that if I learn the laws of Gzeila, I'm less likely to steal. Not only because I know the halachas, but it sanctifies me. And I have a greater respect and a greater commitment to the halachas having learned the halachas of Zayla. So that's in every area of the Torah. Learning that part of the Torah gives me strength to fulfill that part of the Torah. That's one thing. But he says there's a larger sense and a more abstract level. The Torah altogether sanctifies a person. And I can learn Hilchos Tyrus, that will also make me less likely to violate Zayla. More indirectly, but will also have a major input in that regard.
Does it get down to the definition of Torah Lishma, whether Torah Lishma means to the mitzvahs or Lishma is just learning for some sake?
The Shmo is Rav Chaim Volozhin defines the Shmo. That's exactly what Rav Yisrael came to say, that it's not the Torah of the Shmo is not achieved by learning by just being oriented to the mitzvahs.
So what's that, what they were doing?
He says in the time of the first Migdash, the learning was to understand how to perform the rituals. So therein was the deficiency.
But that is
the Rav Chaim Volozhin's definition. The Rav means to understand Torah for its own sake. That's all. That's what it means.
Not
for any other purpose. Of course we have to learn Lulmay Ramanas Lulamay. That has to be there, but that's not what stands behind Torah Lishma.
I've seen Mepharshim say that it doesn't mean that they didn't say the bracha; they just didn't know the proper kavanah.
There could be a lot of different interpretations. This is the interpretation of some sort of Yisro Salanta. I certainly agree that there are many interpretations.
Who made up the bracha? That was made up by.
Right, whoever made that, Shik Nesek Gadol made all the brachas.
So that was before,
there must have been some format of a bracha. It may not be our format of a bracha. It's brachas haTorah min haTorah. So the same way. It could be was formalized by Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, as most things were. It's in the first bias, the Rambam indicates that all of Tefillah was on a more personal basis. The Rambam writes the formalization of Tefillah, Rambam, the first parak of Tefillah, took place because they lacked the efficiency to express themselves appropriately in Lashon Kodesh. That's why they needed to formalize the Tefillah. We don't know how old exactly. We don't know exactly. Tefillah always existed in Klal Yisrael. In what format? It's hard for us really to gauge today. Now, so I think this is what lies behind the fact that there were three brachas in the Birchas HaTorah. The first bracha simply is a bracha Asher Yisrael says it's one of the last of the Torah. That's a straightforward Birchas HaMitzvahs, and exactly the same format as I make a bracha on Tefillah and a Lulav and Esrog, etc. Asher Yisrael says it's one of the last of the X. Is last of the Torah. That's the mitzvah. The additional brachas, but to stress the significance of Haftarah. That's what we ask the Rebbeinu Shalom. The Vahar of Noah Shalom, you know, is the resource for Rufino. And we should find to discover the sweetness, the greatness of Torah for ourselves, for our Doros. And it's one that Hashem Boch HaBonam B'Kol HaAmim, the distinction that's involved in Talmud Torah, that it's unique in the world. It's a chachma in its own right, not only for its utilitarian purpose. I believe this is what lies behind the fact that there are a multitude of brachas on Talmud Torah, which we don't find for any other mitzvah. To underscore the very special role of Talmud Torah. That's what I believe is the reason.
Question on it, or do you want to first finish the introduction?
You could ask a halacha question.
But you walk into a shul for a minute, there's a shir going on. You didn't say Birchas HaTorah yet. And you just say, Lashok HaTorah and Asher Baruch HaBonim, Baal Karavno.
Well, you're supposed to make all three brachas, so I presume you should make all three. Maybe the Yevit, you probably get to, but it's clear you get to it any bracha. There's a whole shayla from what's in the Sukkot, if you made, how many brachas you should remake. And generally, what's accepted is to remake one bracha for a person, because one suffices. Now, the Birchas HaTorah comes in reality in two different forms. It's very interesting. When the Rambam discusses the halacha of Talmud Torah, so what does he write? The Rambam tells me a story. Instead of telling me a halacha, the Rambam tells me a story. He says a person that gets up early in the morning to learn before he davens, so this is the bracha that he makes. And he tells me the Birchas HaTorah. Okay, the Rambam is not a storybook. It's very simple. You want to tell me when I get up in the morning to eat an apple, so this is the bracha that I make. And I leave out when I got up in the morning. I have to make a bracha on an apple, whatever that will be. So what's the Rambam's point? The person that gets up before davening gets to recite Birchas HaTorah, to learn before davening. There are two Birchas HaTorah in reality. This is what we refer to as Birchas HaTorah. In Avo Rabbo, in some Achronim we find Avo Rabbo is Birchas, another format of Birchas HaTorah. Now we know if a person, let's say, is unsure if he recited the Birchas HaTorah, so then by Avo Rabbo, you should have in mind to be yet in Birchas HaTorah. There are those who say it doesn't even have to happen in mind. It is Birchas HaTorah in its own right. The Rambam's view is that Avo Rabbo is, that's a Birchas HaTorah. Very straightforward. Without getting involved in this machlokes, what exactly? You need special kavanah, you know. It's Birchas HaTorah. Mameilo, if I don't get up to learn before the davening, according to the Rambam, I have no need to recite the conventional Birchas HaTorah. What does this touch upon? This touches upon a fundamental machlokes, which is discussed in the halachos of Talmud Torah, and that is, under what circumstances do I have to recite the brachos, the Birchas HaTorah? Suppose I want to say Tillim. There's a Chayla. I want to say Tillim for a Chayla. Tillim is a Sefer in Tanakh. It's Mikra. So do I have to recite Birchas HaTorah? I got up 3 o'clock in the morning. I went to sleep. I slept for 3 hours already. I got up. And I'm going to say Tilum for a chayva. So I get out, I wash my hands. So do I have to recite Birchas HaTorah or not? So there is a machlokes. Some say, it's psukim, reciting psukim. Psukim needs Birchas HaTorah. Some say that since my purpose is not to learn, therefore there's no requirement of Birchas HaTorah. My purpose is to be mispalo for a chayva. That's what I'm out to do. Incidental, the fact that it's psukim. Now it's interesting, because by mikra we say that even if I don't understand the mikra, if I recite mikra, I'm b'kayim divin talmud Torah. Not true, but Torah shel peh, but Torah shel b'ksav. So apparently, even though I'm actually fulfilling the mitzvah of talmud Torah, I mean, here I know what I'm saying. But since I didn't do it the shame Talmud Torah, I did it the shame Tzibur, there's no obligation to recite the Birchas HaTorah. Or, so of course, over to Pesukim, and I have to recite the Birchas HaTorah. That would seem from the Rambam, that the Rambam's view is that if I recite Pesukim, the shame Davening, there's no need to recite Birchas HaTorah. And that's why, even though the whole Davening is more like Pesukim, we have the whole Pesukim is similar. All Pesukim. Right from Asheri and on, six Mizmorim up straight, lifted straight out of Tilum. But it would seem that the Rambam's view is that one doesn't have to recite the Birchas HaTorah.
Sorry, may I ask a question about
the Tilum? Did they already take the Tilum? No, the Tilum is about 9 days later.
9:30. 9:30 they start.
9:30.
Okay. I believe, I recall, I did have this chus. I attended the Yortzeit Shir of Rav Soloveitchik at the time, the Hamon time. It was in January, I think, was normally was the Yortzeit Shir, if I remember, December, January, around that time of the year. I think it was January, and I have a chavra whose father was a professor, I think. Yeshiva University at the time. So he was going to the Yortzeit Shir. So I thought, okay, he was a senior in high school, go to the Yortzeit Shir. So I recall that in this Yortzeit Shir, he discussed the fact that the Rambam's view is that one does not have to recite Birchas HaTorah if one says it's the Shem Tchila for the purpose of davening. I don't recall what the raya was, but it seems to me this is obviously the raya. It's very clear in the Rambam. This halacha the Rambam, that that's the case. So Birchas HaTorah comes in two forms. So according to the Rambam, I don't have to recite Birchas HaTorah before davening, because davening doesn't require Birchas HaTorah. Now, we have that halacha, that so our practice is we recite Birchas HaTorah at the beginning of davening. I presume the rationale is that we follow the Shita, or at least Machmer like the Shita, that says the Raisa, so a Machmer, that we don't even recite Tukum Hashem Tuchima without the recitation of Birchas HaTorah. I presume that's the rationale for our practice. Now, there is also some difference between these two versions of Birchas HaTorah. In the version of Birchas HaTorah of Avarabu, so the Yishalmi states, Roshalim and Lomar al Asar. The one has to learn in that place, learn immediately. Well, immediately is stretched, like if it is davening. Why might have Yitzhak with Shema Yisrael? Yeah. If we took the view of the Shem Tchino, Yirad Yetzei, so maybe I'm not Yetzei with Shmai, because that's the same for the purpose of Kabbalah from Malchus Shemai. But it does seem that part of the purpose of the recitation of Shema is for Talmud Torah too. So maybe that's why there had to be Avarabah right before it. You know, by then we're getting down to brass text. But the Rishali does not take into account Shema Yisrael. It says Ushalom al Asar, meaning that if I have to say Yivarechacha, I'll learn it, some chumash, something. subsequent to the davening. But the davening itself, I'm not yaitzei. So why am I not yaitzei with Kriya Shema? Could say, as I indicated, that Kriya Shema perhaps is only recited the Shem Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, Kabbalah Sol Mitzvah. Stress the Shivas of Tzitzis, but again, not the Shem Talmud Torah itself. Someone who Shalmi holds, he takes the Rambam's view, that's not Mechuyev in Talmud Torah either. Now, but why do we have other Darby Shainim that state that I can recite Birchas HaTorah in the morning and there's no obligation to learn immediately subsequent to davening? Recite Birchas HaTorah, Shemoch HaBonik HaMarosim HaMaruch HaDo Hashem, no Yitzhan HaTorah, and then I can go on to the next thing. Hashem knows on the Sechuvim, right in the Yangin. When I get around to learning, I'll get around to learning. There's no obligation to recite. There's no obligation to learn immediately. But here, suddenly, my Avarava, I have to learn immediately. And it's really the next two questions. Number one, where do we have a Birchas HaMitzvah that I can make the Brocha and not do the Mitzvah? I'll make a Brocha, I'll fill us Luluf. And that's it, I go to work. And 6 hours later, I'll say, oh, you know, gee, it would be a good idea to take out a Luluf. So I run into home and I take out my Luluf and Esrik. I made a Brocha in the morning, it's fine. It's the Eitnish, doesn't it? So why should it be, by Talmud Torah, why should it be such a notion? That's a very difficult question. We'll come back. Rav Chaim has an explanation of that. It's what the same Rav Chaim says.
But don't you do it right away?
We do it, but according to some Rishonim and Taisus, you don't have to. No such obligation. But when it comes to Abba Rabba, everyone all of a sudden Rishonim says, I have to do it on the spot. I believe the reason for that is that since Abba Rabba is not normally recited as Birchas HaTorah, it was especially not in accordance with the Rambam's view. According to the accordance with the Rambam's view, Abba Rabba is the conventional Birchas HaTorah. The average Yid says Abba Rabba as his Birchas HaTorah. Doesn't mean he never recites the other Birchas HaTorah because he doesn't get up to learn before that. You have to learn the conventional Birchas HaTorah. Rav Chaim once asked in a tzivah, because he sent a shliach, he had to discuss a shayla with him. It was like 3 or 4 in the morning. And when he came in, he started to recite the Birchas HaTorah. So Rav Chaim started to cry. He said, how can it be, he says, that someone is supposed to be one of the next daily Yisrael, this is at 3 o'clock in the morning, he didn't recite Birchas HaTorah yet.
There's more to that story. I'll throw in the rubber.
Well, if we learn not in accordance with the Rambam Shita, the way we do, so Abba Rabba, to the contrary. We don't even realize that Abba Rabba is a Birchas HaTorah altogether. We have to learn Siman Mem Zayin of the Shulchan Aruch to find out. Abba Rabba is an introductory Brocha to Kriya Shema. Talks about Talmud Torah, talks about other things in the Brocha. So, to show, in fact, to manifest that this is a Birchas HaTorah, I believe that's the point of Rishonim, that in the human of Asah. You have to learn immediately afterwards. Even if you wouldn't have to learn for Talmud Torah, for Birchas HaTorah, because Birchas HaTorah is clear, it's Birchas HaTorah. Abba Rabba is sort of in a twilight zone. It's conventionally part of Birchas Kriya Shema. The fact that I want to use it for Birchas HaTorah, this is in accordance with those that would say I would need specific das. This would not work according to the ones that say that it's automatically, even without specific das, it works as a Birchas HaTorah. But according to the Shita, to say that I specifically have to have one, you have to render it. It needs a transformation. It has to be transformed. So that part of that is that I have to learn. Soon afterwards, to show that I made a Birchas HaBrocha and a Birchas HaTorah. Now, one of the very fascinating things, hardly unusual. Why is it that I make a brocha only once a day in Talmud Torah? Make a brocha in the morning. Good. I learn. Fine. I go off to business. You know, 6, 7, 8, 10 hours later, Baruch Hashem, I'm finally punter from that. You know. And I come back to shul and I want to learn. I sit down to learn. I open the Gemara. If I ate breakfast, I still have to recite Hamoiti when it comes time to eat supper. So if I made a bracha on the sukkah in the morning, and I went off a whole day to work, I come back at night and I got to eat dinner, I make an ubrichas bracha on sukkah. So why is it in Talmud Torah that I only make one bracha for the whole day? What's the pshat? The pshat seems to be that Talmud Torah is unique in the regard that it's something which is constantly has to be in our mind. In other words, it's not possible to have Hesach Hadas with Torah, that it would be the kind of thing. Sukkah, I eat in the morning. Listen, I don't have to eat in the sukkah tonight, which I don't want to eat. I'll drink a cup of soda and go to sleep. I won't eat tonight. I'm not interested. I eat too much in the morning, it's enough. I'm not eating tonight. Nothing makes me go back to the sukkah again. And let's say I don't want to sleep tonight. Then the chasdish mechuyif, so I'm not mechuyif. I'll stay up the whole night. I'm not planning to sleep. I'm not mechuyif to go into the sukkah. It's a mitzvah fun, but I'm mechuyif to go. You can't say chiyuf. So it's a mimakayim. Obviously, the Hindi Shiva sukkah, the broader sense is to do everything that one could in the sukkah. That one should live in the sukkah as one's house. But that's a very high fulfillment, a very significant fulfillment of the inyan of sukkah. But in the mitzvah, the chiyah, shtiyah, leaving, those three things. Eating, drinking, or to eat a meal, and to sleep in the sukkah. Those are the basic performance of sukkah. Talmud Torah, I'm not exempt from Talmud Torah. If I have an opportunity to come back to learn again. That's not only with the ktiyas that I have. I saw once Rav Tukachinsky, and the Chatzalik, the author of the Gesher HaChaim, if you saw, Yechiel Tukachinsky. So he wrote that we have to be careful that ktiyas itim l'tayr doesn't become a source of bitul tayr. He said he became cognizant of this. Sometimes, I'll make a set time to learn. Fine. That's a wonderful thing. It should. Now, let's say all of a sudden I have 2 hours, I have to wait around for something today to happen. I come to, I was supposed to have a meeting with someone. And whatever, I'm my big boss. And he calls up. It's 2 hours late. So now I have to sit and wait. I travel there. I'm not in my office. I can't conduct my regular business. And here I am. I have to wait for him for 2 hours. So what can I do now? We're all showing the age of the blackberries. It's still in this part of the world. You know, we have what to do. But after P came, you can't always, you know, there's not always what to do. You know, if it might be with my computer, with my office staff, good, so I have what to do. But if I'm not in my environment, I'm away from my computer, I'm away from my staff, so what am I going to do? Good, I'll return a few calls here and there, okay, but after a while, it's, you know, I've finished whatever I can do out of the office. What do I do now? After the chin, you do what I do now, pick up the Gemara to learn. So we have to be careful that the Kfiyasit of the Torah doesn't become a source of difficulty. A lot we need Kfiyasit, without that we can't survive. But if I suddenly find another block of time which is unanticipated becomes available, I have to use it. So Talmud Torah is never something that we go away from. Talmud Torah is a mitzvah that I'm rearing at every moment, whenever there's an opportunity to go back to. And if something unanticipated happens and creates time for me, I'll go right back to it. So in Meila, there's no Hetzach Hadas for learning. Yeshua's father, Hanukkah's father, Rav David Zichar Tzadik Livracha, interpreted a medrash this way. Then, Dover HaMelech, I forget the beginning of the Chazal. It ends with Shiva Ragla Reid Serach, I forget the beginning of the Pasuk. Looks by Marduk the moment. So we said, Dover HaMelech said that I was going places, and my feet slept me to the base medrash. Shiva Ragla Reid Serach. So Shiva's father is Marusha. was he a person, he was, that was not mindful of Talmud Torah? Then why did he wind up in the Beis Medrash? Or why was the rumors going elsewhere? Why wasn't he going to the Beis Medrash in the first place? Elamai, David HaMelech was a king, and he had responsibilities. So what's the pshat? He was irresponsible. So he's on the way to his office, because he has one to take care of the affairs of state. And he doesn't make it to the office, so what does he do? He runs off to the Beis Medrash to learn. And he lets them still in his office. Marsha, what happened? If he had nothing else to do, he should have been going to the Beis Medrash in the first place. And if he had some responsibilities, so then you're supposed to be a mensch to take care of your responsibilities. So what's the pshat in the Medrash? So we say the pshat in the Medrash is that life has a lot of grace to it. Where does the balance lie in this decision? Should I bother with this, or should I go to learn? Or just, it's not worth bothering with. So sometimes I make the decision, this is worth bothering with, and I should, and I go to take care of it. He says, but a person who has a strong feeling for Talmud Torah, so that feeling sometimes pulls them away from things that he decided. He comes to the conclusion that just the balance is not worthwhile. There's not enough to gain from what I'm about to do. And therefore, let it be undone. Not everything needs to be done in this world. Some things are better left undone. So, that was the attitude which drove him. So, yeah, a lot of times I set off to do things which I thought were important because I was the king. Before I got there, I realized I'm better off in the Beis Medrash. They don't need me for this one. And he ran to learn. So that's the attitude that a person has to have. The attitude that we need to have is that Talmud Torah is something that we're looking for the opportunity for. It's so important to us that we want to run to it. When Yosef Shlita, when he lost his wife in the 90s, 40 years back, something approximately. So he sat Shiva. When Shiva ended, his children and Rachel were very concerned that that age he's going to stay alone by himself. Chased everybody out of the house and let nobody stay there. Told them all, everybody go home. That's it. And Shiva said, oh, I'll get to Nach. And then they, what did he do? They say he took out the Gemara and he started to look like a shikra who hadn't had a drink for a week. And that, I'm sure, it was available, he learned, but he couldn't learn the things he wanted to. He was like, I'm drunk, and I didn't have anything to do. I never drink for a week. Just tore into the learning. So we need that. That's the attitude he has to have when it comes to Talmud Torah. The male not shy of Hesachadah. I'm looking, always, for, I learned, but I'm looking for the opportunity to learn more. It could come in an hour, it could come in 10 hours. But I'm looking for the opportunity. The notion that it's a phenomenal notion that Chazal taught us. The Birchas HaTorah will make one today. No Hesach Hadas when he makes it. There's a whole discussion. Talmud Torah, the Gemara itself, what obligates a person to be a Torah. And the Gemara has all different manner of use. Some say that it's mikra. That's the chayav in Talmud Torah. Nothing else is the chayav in Talmud Torah. Some say it includes Torah Shabbat Peter. Torah Shabbat Peter is also Nichla. Some say it includes Medrash Pesukim, Medrash Halachic Medrash, of the sources of the Halachas, are also included. Also included in the Din of and the Din of Talmud Torah. And finally, some say So we had Mikra, and some say Mishnah, and some say Gemara. And Gemara includes Medrash Pesukah. Now the halacha is that even for Medrash Pesukah, one needs to recite Talmud Torah. Now there were different reasons given for this, what the Gemara's maskana is. So one is that Rabbeinu Yonah writes, what's the reason for it? Because even from Medrash Pesukim, we learn halachos. From Medrash Pesukim, we learn ikrei halachos. This is Rabbeinu Yonah's interpretation. The Aruch HaShulchan says, "The lefizeh mashma she'en achiyav rak b'dvorim she'mefarshim dinei Torah." That the chiyav of Talmud Torah is only those aspects which explain the dinim of the Torah. Although divrei agoda, suppose a learned person is learning the agodas of Shas, Medrash, etc., or Kabbalah, or a person learning Kabbalah, shein ikram the dinim of halachos. Their primary focus is not dinim of halachos; it's perhaps ein torah brocha. That's if we assume that the reason for all the things the Gemara said that we have to make a brocha on is because they all lead us to understand the dinei Torah. Let me cite the second reason. The Balatanya, the Shulchan Aruch, Harav writes, the reason that we have to make a bracha on everything is because everything was given, everything that came in the Moshe B'Sinai, we have to make a bracha on. Or some say, because it's all Torah, like the different nuances of the same thing. Then Pshita, Shagam, Agoda, Kabbalah, and Nitna, the Moshe B'Sinai. They're also a chelik of the Torah. Because Rabbeinu Yonah writes that why did he say that we have to make a broch on Mishnah? He says with the Mefarma, because the Mishnah Mefaresh is Tamei Amitzis. This is the background of the Mitzis. And the next one says, the Gam, the Gemara, Sarah, the Baruch, Shushat, Tamei Mefaresh, Ikrei Apsukim. It explains the Pesukim, which is the mashma all in the sense, in the same flow. So for Rabbeinu Yonah, it's my Loshon David Rabbeinu Yonah the mashma, and it's only those things which led to the understanding of the halacha. So interestingly, the Aruch HaShulchan says, "B'torach Yonah Dina." He's not sure what the halacha is. If in those things which don't lend to an understanding of the halachas, one is obligated to recite the Birchas HaTorah or not. I was thinking about the very same thing.
Well,
everything, it could be that from the Torah itself, that the source of the halacha is malayla bedomit. And many, many halachas come from surprising places in the Pesukim. That we don't anticipate. And the going source a lot in Pesukim that we didn't see. Now, Pirkei Avos would be a similar shayla, because not necessarily halachas. Alamai, it's included in Mishnah. It's Mishnah. It would seem to be included in Mishnah. It's a Mishnah one has to make a brocha. So it could be that it defines the difference. A goddess, you can't pass the halachas from a goddess. So Pirkei Avos is in Paschal Halachos. So Halachos, and now we have to act in this one, is also Halachos. Agoda is to inspire us, but the Halachlal is that we don't pass the dinner from Agoda. Certainly Agoda is that are not in the Shabbos, we don't pass it. Whereas Pirkei Avos is in Paschal Shabbos. Maybe that's different, it's included in Mishnah. So this is a very interesting twist. That the Tochen, that we don't make a bracha on Kabbalah and Divrei Agoda, that's not Shaiach Birchas HaTorah. Very interesting Shaiach. I think we'll hold it at this point. Now, I don't believe the next 2 weeks we're going to be a share. We will be occupied with some other event.